All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Yes, is it on? It's not on yet. Here's my microphone. All right, praise the Lord, everybody. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
God is good all the time. My wife is going to pray over me, and then I want to introduce you to Mother Sharon, and then we'll talk.
Let's go. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, name, Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for this precious day, dear Lord, that you have made like no other, dear Lord. We thank you for this time to commune together as a family, dear Jesus, to fellowship with one another, to immerse ourselves in the Word of God, dear Lord. We thank you for this opportunity, dear Jesus, to share once again with one another, dear Lord. We pray for Pastor Sandy right now, dear Jesus, that he decrease and you increase in him, that he pours, as the Holy Spirit is pouring into him, that Word is pouring right out to us, dear Jesus, in the matter that you've given it to him this morning, dear Jesus. We thank you for this Word of God, dear Lord, that we may fellowship and study and learn together, dear Lord. Take away something rooted in the Word of God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. I am back. I am speaking today. But first, I want to introduce you to Mother Sharon. Some of these people know you, right?
I don't know.
You don't know? Mm-mm. Which one you talked to? Is she on there?
She is.
Do I need to go down?
No, you can. No?
All right. Okay, Sharon. Sharon, this is her second book. What was the first book called?
Inspire.
Inspire. And this book is called Courageous, or Courage. Courage, right? And this book is called Courage. It's 10 testimonies of 10 women of how God has intervened in their lives to overcome different situations in life. And Sharon is, how much is this book?
17.
Okay. Can they go online and buy it?
No, they have to get it from me.
They have to get it from you? All right. So let Sharon know if you want a copy. Can you see that? And you know I don't usually sell books, but this is my mother, Sharon. And I love her. So if you want a copy of the book, let Pastor Ben know or let me know, and then you can read these 10 testimonies. And Sharon's testimony, is this a different testimony than the other book? It is, yeah. Oh, they need to read the first book too then.
I still have copies.
Okay, so praise God. So anyway, this is Mother Sharon, and if you want a copy of this, let me know. Praise God.
All right, thank you.
And save my copywriter. Hallelujah. Testimonies are awesome because testimonies help other people overcome the same situation. So I'm going to love that book. All right. How is everybody?
Yes.
I was in the Nassau, Bahamas.
Did you see the Facebook picture I put up?
I didn't, but everybody called me and told me, I saw your picture on Facebook in the Bahamas. I was like, so it was a blessing. It was the second time me and Drea had been there. We had a layover one time. They couldn't fly our plane all the way back to Long Beach from New York. So they said, we're sorry, but you're going to have to spend a day and a half in the Bahamas because we have a layover. And we went, oh, okay, no problem. So this is our second time being there. It was a beautiful trip. Pastor Ben was there. Jaqua, the test grader was there. Everybody was there. It was the first time I got to vacation with Pastor Ben and his family and Jaqua and everybody. And so it was a blessing. I wanted to talk about on the ship. I don't know if you guys notice. I noticed because I don't know. You tell Mrs. Smith. If you guys didn't notice, everybody that was on the boat, Nicole, Pastor Ben, did you notice that there were gay couples on the
Yeah.
We were in the jacuzzi, and then this girl couple got in, and we were in with Israel, right? Well, I didn't want to stay in there because I didn't want them to, you know, I didn't want to see nothing. So I'm like, let's get out, okay? And then, you know, you had some men that were there, and I'm saying it because of this reason. my heart was burdened for them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I know only because I prayed while I was on the boat about, Lord, how can we minister to people that are involved in this lifestyle better? Because if no one tells them, they'll think that they're doing the right thing and this is the way they were born, or whatever stronghold that they're using to hold on to that, right? Yeah. And the Lord told me Drea was out. I think they went out that night, so she let me sleep. And so the Lord said, you know what? There is a spirit of homosexuality in the earth.
Yes.
And he said, without that demonic spirit in the earth, there would be no homosexuality among men. Mm. And so he said, it is not a birth problem. It is not an emotional problem. It is a direct spirit problem.
Yeah.
And he said, once the spirit is removed from the earth, there'll be no homosexuality.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
But people don't know that it's a spirit that has attached itself to them. Because when that spirit comes, it tells you that you were born this way. And that spirit tells you that, you know, but these are true feelings of yours. And this is even like the Pope told the other guy, it's a gift from God. And different weird stuff. But once you start making excuses for your sin, it becomes a stronghold.
Yes.
And once it becomes a stronghold, then now you really need deliverance, because it's something that you've not only accepted, but you've built up so many excuses with the demon, mm-hmm. you've come in agreement, you know?
Yeah.
And so it can't be released until first they come out of agreement, mm-hmm. and then pray to have that spirit away from them so that they can get back to normal life.
Yes.
But it is not just a man problem that we invented. This is an actual spirit released out into the human. And it was first released out by Satan to keep Jesus from being born. That was Satan's whole plan. If I can make the whole world not reproduce, I can then not have Jesus come, because when Jesus comes, I read he's going to crush my head. So the whole thing was, but, you know, keep praying for him. But I said that because when I got back, I watched the news, and they have ACR 99 resolution being introduced to California. And it says that churches will not be allowed to speak against homosexuality. So if a church has a 501(c), and you speak out against homosexuality in California, then they will take your 501(c) and they will demand taxes for everything. Well, we don't have a 501(c). We don't consider ourselves a club. We consider a church. We consider ourselves just a bunch of people that meet in a building, right? Because once you call yourself a church and once you get the 501(c), then they want to control your whole life, okay?
Yeah.
Tell you you can't speak against Obama and all this different stuff. So if you're ever starting a church, someone out there, I suggest gear away from 501(c).
Amen.
All right, now we're going to talk about my favorite subject, and my favorite subject is Jesus.
Yeah.
And he awesome. You got to realize who he was first, right? I mean, who he was, who he is. Here, let's read Revelation chapter 1, verse 8.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Because sometimes I can't believe how my big miracle is, how did you get me to stop doing that? And how did the Spirit come into me and get me to change my life?
Yes.
How did the Spirit of God make me hate profanity? How did that happen? You know what I mean? When before I could do it all day and go to sleep and wake up and still and curse somebody else out. You know what I mean? But now, how did this spirit that came into my body cause me to, I can't, I mean, if I say, I can't even say the letters. You know, like some people say the letters.
No.
Even if I say the letters, the Holy Spirit go, what do you mean by that? I go, so I can't even say the letters. You understand?
Same thing.
Because the Holy Spirit will convict me.
Amen.
So I'm saying, what happened in our lives that the person you used to be, you no longer are. And since that happened, don't you consider that a miracle? I consider me a miracle,
amen.
Okay? And some of the people that knew me before would say, I consider you a miracle, right? It's just, so, and you know, all of us got some people that if they saw you now, they would be going, that's a miracle. Because they knew you before. So anyway, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. And this is Jesus. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Okay? He was Jewish, so he's the Aleph and the Tav. All right? But since they did it in Greek, he's the Alpha and Omega. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come. El Shaddai. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, but he says, he says, I'm the beginning and the end. And he says, who is presently, who was, and who is to come. Then he ends it by saying the original name of God. Okay. All sufficient. All-sufficient God. He says, I'm El Shaddai. I am the Almighty. That means all-sufficient God. That's who he is. So he's proclaiming, I'm the God that was before earth began. I am the God before there was any stars in the solar system. I am the God that created all angels. I am the God. I am El Shaddai. I was all sufficient before any of you got here, and I'm still El Shaddai. You understand? It's amazing to be able to create other beings simply because you want them to enjoy life.
Amen.
Not that you need him, because he's all sufficient. He was good. Okay? So, I want us to go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Now listen. When you say the name Yahweh, in Hebrew, it is the same as saying who was, who is, and who is to come. Yahweh is present, past, future, always God. Okay? You have to understand everything that is in front of you was created. You have to understand that there is life in this world before you got here. And so therefore, you need to go back and find out where you came from, why you exist, and how to get out of here alive. Okay?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say, I'm not saying how to get out of here existing, because God sees life and death different from the way we see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because life and death to God means either you in heaven with me when you leave, or you in hell without me when you leave. That's life or death to God. But you're going to exist somewhere. Okay? You are going to exist somewhere. But determining where you're going to exist is your decision while you live on the earth, okay? You're on enemy territory, each one of us. You need to know that. You need to know you're on enemy territory. And if you want to do this fight by yourself, you can. Or you can do the fight with the one who is in control of everything, and his name is above all principalities and powers, And everything is under his control. All situations are under his control. You can go through life with him on your side, or you can go through life and say, you know, I really don't need you. Okay? And God gives you the choice. Okay? He's on my side. I tried to do life without him. It didn't work. Okay? The enemy was jacking me up. All right? So I went back, got my big brother, Jesus, and I said, now I'm back. What you got to say now? Then I start getting blessed. You understand?
Yeah.
So understand how this works. Now let's go. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, right? Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? Who is the Word?
Jesus.
Okay, I want you to know that. So, understand this, that in the beginning, the Word already existed inside of God before anything was created. I want that to be clear to you, because there should be never an argument about who Jesus is. Because inside of each and every one of you is a three-part being.
Yes.
You have a body. You have a soul that has emotions, up, down, whatever, laughter. Okay? So you have a body, a soul, and God says you have a spirit, which is the real you that is going to exist outside of this earth realm, okay? So, we are made in the image of God. God is Father, Son, Father, Word, Holy Spirit, right? Three-part being encompassed in one, okay? God is one. Now, you are, how many of you are there? One, okay? I never say all three of you go to bed. Although we know your body is somebody might say, well, my body's not tired right now, but my eyes are getting okay. So we talk to ourselves in this way as saying, I'll be there with you in spirit. No, you won't. But we say this because we realize we have a spirit,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So understand that you're made in the image of God, and you're made in the image of God because you are created in his image for a purpose. Okay?
Yes.
Now let's continue this. Okay, I'm gonna continue reading this. It says, he was in the beginning with God. Okay? All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Inside of Jesus Christ, inside of God was life. And the life was the light of man, and the light, okay? So the light came into the existence of the earth realm. Darkness saw, which we looked up that word last time, so that was ignorance saw. Ignorance saw the light.
Yes, yes.
And could not comprehend, what is he doing?
Ignorance.
He created a being like himself in three parts and gave him a whole new existence to live in. What is he doing? He said darkness did not comprehend it. Once he created the earth, go down to verse 14. It said the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Okay? So he comes into the world in flesh. God figures out a way to enter into his own creation and put on flesh and go through a human experience. Why? All for the sake of redemption. Why does the earth need to be redeemed? Because man, everything was created for man, but someone stole it. Here's a lesson to understand. If you live in righteous, Satan cannot go to God and request anything that you own. Do you know that? If you're living a righteous life, Satan cannot request what you own. But if you start sinning, he's an accuser. He can go before God and start requesting, why are you blessing that person? Why do they have this job? Why do they have this car? They're sinning. And he's an accuser of the brethren. So God goes, like he did Adam, here you go. Well, he's sinning. So Adam transferred all the property over to Satan. And then when Satan finally meets God or Jesus, he says, all of these things have been given to me. And if you bow down and worship me, I'll make you king over everything, right? Now, one thing, when you read that passage, Jesus never said to Satan, no, it's not. It belongs to me.
He never did.
He never said that. You know why? He knew that transfer of the deed came from him and went over to Satan. And now the earth realm really belongs to Satan. That's why your music is the way it is. That's why your movies are the way they are. Anybody making Christian movies? A few people, but most people don't even watch because of the acting. I didn't say that. But listen, the people that have the money are making movies, but understand who's controlling them is the person who owns the earth realm, because he wants the earth realm to be the way he wants it to be, and God wants it to be a holy, justified world, right?
Amen.
It had to be fought for. This earth had to be fought for. You had to be fought for.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Because once something has been taken, there is a price that has to be paid to purchase it back.
Amen.
Ever had your car repossessed?
Yep.
Okay. If you've ever had your car repossessed,
yep.
I don't care if you can go up there and you can ask nicely. They go like this, mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
Can I please have my car? I got to take my kids to school.
Mm-mm.
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 What do they want?
Money.
I want the redemption price.
That's right.
Okay? And what was the redemption price for us? And for earth? Blood.
Yeah.
So you've been paid for by God, who came in the form of a man to purchase you and to bring you back to himself, so that he can say proper ownership of man and the earth is now back in the hands of God. Thank you, my little brother. So understand this. What's going on in the earth has been powerful. Okay? It's played out to you lightly, but it's powerful, okay? This is why you can't try to live life without God.
Amen.
Because you don't have another friend here.
Amen.
Do you understand? You don't have another, you have nobody else in the earth realm that's going to guide and control your life and lead you to the proper place where you need to be.
Yeah.
Who's that kid that got, he was a rapper, there's so many of them now. But he always would, when he would get an award, he would like, I want to thank God for blessing me. But his music was all profanity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah, all of them, okay. I forgot, he was a white kid though. Well, anyway, it just happened recently. So anyway, but he would always say, I want to thank God, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, God can bless you, but his blessings come with no sorrow.
Right.
If Satan blesses you,
no sorrow.
Like if I hate you and I give you some free food, don't eat it. You understand? So you can want to do something in life and you don't have God on your side. And so you like, well, look who I, you know, you become a Snoop Dogg or you become a Tupac, right? You don't have life living inside of you, so you really are on your way to the same place,
mm-hmm.
of the people that are evil, more evil than you. You're still on your way to the same place. Why? Because the person that you says all these blessings come from God, you haven't even said which God.
Ooh.
Yeah. Okay? Because remember what Satan said to Jesus. What did he say? I will give you all these things if you will bow down. So that means Satan has the ability to give you things.
Yes.
They always make songs about it, talking about rain, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to make it that he can make it rain for you, right?
Right.
And so all these songs are to Lucifer because he is supposed to be the rain man.
Ooh.
He's supposed to be the one to give them blessings, right? So they know what they're doing, but you have to understand the realm you're living in is not on your side. And if you try to live in this realm without Jesus, you get what you get.
Right.
Okay? But I saw so many beautiful families on the cruise, right? And I'm like just praying that they have Jesus with them, because it's a sad thing to believe that you're a good enough person to make it to heaven without Jesus.
Mm.
Let's go. Let's finish reading this.
Good word.
Oh, I didn't put give a board question. Okay. Okay, this is what I want to ask you guys something. Now check this out. Jesus appears in the flesh. Did Jesus already tell us that he was going to appear in the flesh?
Yes.
Where did he tell us this? First place in Genesis. Let's go to Genesis first. Okay. Let's go to Genesis 22, verse 8.
Was it Moses that took his Aaron to the...
Genesis 22. Well, while Pastor Ben tries to guess. Genesis chapter 22, verse 8. And most of you guys know this, but there's some people that don't, okay? Now watch this, okay? You in 22? You in verse 8? Now, okay, I'm going to set it up for you. Abraham is taking his son,
yeah,
right?
Told you.
Abraham is taking his son. Where is he taking his son? To Mount Moriah.
Yeah.
Okay? Where's Mount Moriah? Wait a minute. Abraham is taking his son. God tells him, take your son to Mount Moriah.
Calvary.
We find out later that it's the exact same mountain that Jesus dies on 2,000 years later. God is telling Abraham to take your son there, okay? And he says, and sacrifice him on the mountain.
Yeah.
It's the same place where Jesus is going to die, 3,000 years, or 2 or 3,000 years later. But listen what he says. And Isaac is on his way. He's got the wood on his back. He's carrying his own wood to his own death, right?
Right.
That happened before, right?
Right.
So now Abraham said, my son, okay, because this is what Isaac said. He said, Dad, we have the fire and the utensils for the sacrifice. But where is the lamb? And Abraham says this, and I want you to think about this as we read it, okay? Because these are not Abraham's words. Abraham is telling him what God told Abraham, okay? So Abraham says, my son, God will, everybody read it in English, God will
provide.
Okay, now, ask any Jewish person reading that in Hebrew, and they will tell you, the word provide is never mentioned in that scripture. Okay? So what does the scripture actually say in Hebrew? Okay? The scripture says in Hebrew, Elohim Yiro'ah lo, Ola. Okay? It says God will appear himself as the offering.
Hmm.
Where did Abraham get this from?
The Torah.
From God. God told him that he was going to appear himself. What is God doing telling Abraham that I'm personally going to appear in the earth myself as a sacrificial offering? God told Abraham, Abraham tells his son, Elohim's going to appear himself as the offering. So God is already planning. He's already told him to go to the exact mountain. He's already told him that this is where the sacrifice is going to be. And then he also tells him, I'm going to be the one that's going to happen. Okay, do you guys remember when God took Abraham out to the stars?
Yes.
And he says, look amongst these stars. And he says to him, you know, your descendants are going to be more than these, right? Now, we don't know the fullness of that whole conversation. That's all we heard, right? But when you get to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, it said God preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. Okay? So obviously God told Abraham that a lamb was going to be sacrificed on the cross to redeem man before Jesus even came. God told Abraham the gospel before Jesus even came. Okay? So when Abraham's talking to his son, he says, God, he might as well said, God told me he's going to come and be the sacrificial offering. Okay? So God had all of this planned. Is there anywhere else in scripture that tells us? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. I read something saying Pastor Sandy's not inspirational, he's a teacher.
Yeah.
Somebody said that. I thought that was very complimentary.
Yeah.
Right.
I thought that was awesome. He's not inspirational, he's a teacher. I went, I need to cut this out and keep this and frame it. Because I'm not here to inspire you to be good Christians. I'm here to teach you about the God that saved you so you'll learn to love him more.
Yeah.
You understand? So here in Isaiah chapter 7, I'm going to read this. Let's go to verse 10. 7 verse 10. It says, moreover, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, saying, ask a sign for yourself from the Lord, your God. Ask it either in the depths or in the heights above. So he's asking Ahaz, ask me for a sign. Go ahead, ask me for a sign. Like, you know what I mean? If God told any of us that, you say, Lord, if you're going to do this or that, right? Right? Because you wouldn't want to, if God told you, tell me to do something for you, ask me for a sign. Anything you want to see, ask me for a sign and I'm going to do it. Listen what Ahaz says though, okay? It says, but Ahaz says, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord, okay? Because it's not your business to be asking me for a sign,
right?
Okay? I'm going to provide for you, okay? And he says, then he said, hear now, O house of David, it is a small thing for you to weary men, but will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name God with us. That means God is telling Isaiah, a son is going to be born to you, but it's going to be me, is going to be God, his name. And remember now, when I tell you his name will be, I'm telling you a title, okay?
Right.
Because his name was Yeshua, God's salvation. But he was also God with us. You understand? So the name Emmanuel means God with us. So God himself had to come. He had to come. Why would he have to come? Listen, the angel of the Lord appears many times in the angel of the Lord is Melech Yahweh, which means a messenger from God comes many times, and he is God. If God can appear without becoming a man, why would he want to come as a baby through a woman and be born and have to go through all that puberty and 4 years old and 2 years old and all this stuff? You guys don't think Jesus was human. He was a baby at one time. You understand? Somebody changed his diaper. He went through that. Why? Because there is a rule amongst redemption. You cannot redeem someone that you're not related to.
Right.
kids and redeem them.
God had to become a man to redeem men.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
If he doesn't come as a man, he can't redeem you because he's not related to you.
Right.
It's called a kinsman redeemer.
Right.
First word being, I am related to you. I'm a kinsman. Therefore, I have the right to redeem you.
Yes.
Okay? So now I can pay for you. Now I can purchase you back. Okay? Let's continue. Okay. John 1. Okay, here we go. Okay, so here we got it. So now, I'm sticking with what the Lord gave me. So Jesus came. First of all, who was he? He was in heaven. No earth, no anything, right? He prophesied that he would come. Did he come?
Yes.
Did he die on the cross?
Yes.
Did he resurrect?
Yes.
How do you know? How do you know?
Because
you believe it?
Yeah, the word.
Who told you?
He did.
Huh?
He did.
The word says it, right?
Yeah.
The word says it. But let me say, how do you know that Jesus died on the cross? His history tells you. Every record. People, look, there's nobody in the world denying that Jesus exists. There's nobody in the world denying that Jesus died on the cross. Everybody knows the event happened. Okay? Everybody knows the event happened. Witnesses in the Bible, you got witnesses that testified this is what happened. These are things that happened in the world. Okay? Listen, we can talk about the crossing in the Red Sea, and you can say, did the children of Israel really cross the Red Sea? Did they really? Or is it just something we believe because it was in a book? Well, there's a video where they went to the bottom of the Red Sea and they found chariot wheels.
Yep.
Okay, so look, humans are not dumb. We will investigate to see if something is really true. And you investigating whether Jesus Christ is who he is or not is very important because your life depends on it. Your life depends on it. So God wants to be a part of your life because he's already redeemed you. Okay, so he came, he died, he resurrected. You understand? Listen, he came out of the grave. And people saw him and testified, he's alive. He came out of the grave. That was the victory that we needed. Because without that, we don't have victory over death. That means when you die, that's just it. Okay? But when Christ died and he resurrected, that means everyone who accepts Jesus Christ will never die. And Jesus kept telling them this. He says, if they believe in me, though they, he said, they will never die. They will never taste death. Like the lady who gave the testimony. They said, how did it feel when you died? She said, it felt like gradually walking through another door and entering into a life. It was like, she was like, was it painful? She was like, no, it just felt like someone gently opened another door and I entered into life. And so how many testimonies of people in this world have said, I had a near-death experience and there's something on the other side, right? This is what we need to know, okay? First thing is this, we have to live day-to-day lives. I'm trying to tell you, you can struggle in life, and God will even give you some of the things that you need. Okay? You can struggle through life and God will give you some of the things that you need. Or you can get God fully involved and he'll bless your life and go and take you from level to level to level. It can happen either way you want. I would rather have God being part of it because he's already paid the price for my life. He's already come in and changed me. He's blotted out my sins. Okay? He blotted out things that people could tell you that used to know me. I mean, there's no way that they possibly could believe that God forgave me. You know what I mean? That with God, he doesn't know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the old me. Because he blotted it out. Okay? That's the first thing that he does. Now, let's go here. Wait a minute. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2. Where's Jesus at now? 1 John chapter 2. Where is Jesus right now? He's in heaven. How do you know that? Because the Bible tells you, right? The Bible tells you that, first of all, history tells you that he came, he died, he resurrected. Okay? Now the Bible tells us he went back to heaven. There were witnesses standing there who said, we saw him ascend back up into heaven.
Yes.
Okay? What's he doing there? What is Jesus doing in heaven right now? I have a question. I was really asking. What is Jesus doing in heaven right now? Jesus making lemonade, kicking it by the water?
No, no. Interceding and preparing.
Interceding. What is he? He's a high priest. Why? Because the journey's not over. Listen, he's in heaven operating as a high priest. Why? Because your journey is not over.
Yes.
Okay? In the Jewish culture, in the temple, which Jesus is in the temple in heaven, in the temple, they had a high priest. Why? Just in case you were out there and you did something dumb that was against the 613 laws. You could take your offering to the high priest. The high priest would take it to the Lord, and then you could be fit, you could be free from your sin.
Yeah.
Okay? So during the Jewish time, during the Old Testament, the time of the law, there was always a high priest that if they sinned, they could take an animal and say, I need you to sacrifice this animal because I wronged my neighbor. Yeah. I did this. I did that. So there was a system. Not only did God make them his people, he created a system to keep them as his people as long as they did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And what were they supposed to do? If you should sin, I'm giving you a high priest that you can take a sacrifice to and have that sacrifice killed, and then your sins will be cleared. You can go back to life. And I'm still going to be a part of your life.
Yeah.
Now, since we don't do the animals anymore, because the greatest high priest of all high priests already died as a sacrifice. So God says, no longer killing any animals. Now all your sacrifices are where?
On your lips.
On your lips. Really? When I was doing prison ministry, this guy was telling me about a murder he had did, you know, because I was working with gang members. And I said, the Lord, I said, look, right now you got murder in your pocket. If you die with murder in your pocket, you're going to hell. But Jesus came to reach in your pocket and take murder out and put it in his pocket. So when you get to the front door and they check you, they won't, they're gonna pat you down. They're gonna go clear, go on in. Right?
Amen. Love it.
I was telling that. He said, he'll forgive me for that. I said, yes. He said, nah, you crazy. He's like, I was there. I know what I did. He's like, it doesn't matter what you did. It matters the power of the person that has the ability to forgive you is, right? So I finally convinced him to accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. But it took a long time for him. How? This was his question. How is God going to forgive me? And I took a man's life, man. I put two hot ones. He talking all gangster and everything. Man, you crazy. That's just the craziest. You might as well just say, I'm just going to do everything dirty. And then, you know, I just say, God forgive me and I'll go to heaven. He said, you act like it's that simple. I said, it is. Really? I said, all you got to do is believe in him, repent, accept him, and I'm telling you, he's going to forgive you. He won't even remember it when you see him. He couldn't believe it. Do you realize God has made salvation so easy? And we try to make it so hard. Okay? Once you accept Christ, you know what you do? You start beating yourself up because you're not like the other Christians at the church. They seem to have it all together, and they don't either.
Amen.
Right? But they've learned something over the time. They've learned, like, if I sin, I still got a high priest.
Yes.
They go down to their knees, they ask for forgiveness, and they say, I'm not going back to that. Let's move on to the next lesson. Okay? This is a journey. But the end of the journey is what? Eternal life.
Yes.
Okay? Now, here. Don't tell me the time, Pastor Ben. Okay, so in 1 John chapter 2, I'm just going to read it. I've explained it to you. This is what it says. My little children, 1 John chapter 2. The epistle, okay? It says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. Mm. Who's he talking to? My children.
Yeah.
God is talking to his children. He's saying this, look, I'm writing this so that you will not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. What's an advocate? A lawyer. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. Then you know I went to Fremont, so I'm looking up propitiation. And it says, to bring about merciful removal of guilt and for divine forgiveness.
Wow.
So we have someone there that even while you're in your Christian walk, you don't have to be perfect. You want to be perfect. You desire to be perfect. But sometimes your wife just drank your last apple juice and you told her, I need this. And right? And God is trying to help you with your anger. So he let her drink it. So you learn how to take things and be calm. But you wasn't calm. You went crazy. Can't keep nothing in the refrigerator. Right? Now the Holy Spirit don't like how you act. And you accidentally cursed. You haven't done that in months. What am I going to do now? Maybe I'm not a Christian. Yes, you are. You're being raised. You were born again. You weren't born a teenager. Born an adult. You were born again. So now he's saying this is going to take some effort, right?
Yes.
And some effort to raise you. So now he teaches you to curve the way you act when things happen that didn't work out the way you wanted. And that's your first lesson, right?
Amen.
He's maturing us till we get to a level where we're acting like Jesus, okay?
Yeah.
Being,
yeah.
And he set up a system to keep you in relationship as long as you stay in the system.
Yeah.
Now, once you start sinning and you say it's not sin, the scripture says you call God a liar.
Yep.
Because once you sin and the Holy Spirit is in you and he's telling you you sin and you say, no, it's not sin. Now you're calling God a liar and now you're in a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing to do is to say, I agree. I've lied. Forgive me in Jesus' name. And he goes, forgotten. Let's move on. It's a great
system.
I've used it, I'm telling you, quite often, especially in my earlier days, right? But in your later days, you don't have to use it as much, but you find out you might still need it. Because some lady is at the movie theater treating you and your family like, I ain't gonna tell that story. Because she know where that was going, right? But she asked forgiveness, and God sent her back. She's like, he can't tell my story. No, you not. I'm not going to tell your story, babe. I love you. But we know. We know criminals. Okay, we just forgot our tickets. Okay, so here we go. Now, okay, so Jesus is in heaven. When is Jesus coming back?
To rescue Israel.
When is he coming back? We're in the harvest season. Now, this is the difference. okay? Because I want you to know, this is the difference between what Satan wants you to believe and what God wants you to know. Ooh. Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
But let's read Acts chapter. Let's read Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Jesus is coming back. And now, but they don't want you to know the process.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize. Last time I said it was when he wrote Left Behind, but it was Jeremiah, Pastor Jeremiah took over the church. But rapture was something that was not wanted in that particular denomination. Okay, so you go and you sell your book, but we're going to implant another pastor that won't talk about the process, because if I talk about the process, mm-hmm. I might get people saved. Okay, because God wants you to be ready when he comes. When he comes where? To the earth? He is coming back to the earth, but when? Okay, now watch this, because there's a dilemma. You're in Acts chapter 3?
Amen.
Okay, we're going to begin to read at verse 19. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophet." So Jesus has been received back in heaven, right? And it says he must stay there. He must remain there until the time of restoration of all things. Mm-hmm. Okay? So Jesus is not coming back to the earth to win. To the restoration of all things is ready to be done. What does he have to do?
Rescue Israel.
He has to destroy the Antichrist. He has to destroy 10 kings that Satan is going to set up in the world to control people. He has to kill. He has to destroy those 10 kings. He has to destroy the Antichrist. He has to do all of this before he comes back. Okay? And so there has to be, either the plan is the church stays in the earth until he destroys the 10 kings, the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist, and then comes back to the earth and destroys it and sets foot on this earth. Either he's going to do it that way and leave us here to go through it, or he's telling us what? I'm going to take you out of the earth first, then I'm going to destroy the Antichrist and all of this. And then I'm going to come back. It will be time to restore all things. And that's when he'll come back. Jesus, we are not looking for the return of Jesus to set foot on the earth for at least 7 years. Even if he came today to take us out, we are not looking for the second coming of Jesus.
Right.
But this is what these churches are preparing people for. Is what? The second coming. That's why they're selling food boxes. A $7,000 food box? Who's going to eat that? They're saying the food will last you for 7 years. Survival kits. This is crazy. They sent me a map of where to go. Something crazy. I think I still got it, Pastor Ben. I got to show it to y'all.
Oh, please.
Sent me a map of where to go in the earth to survive the Antichrist and the Satan system. And I'm like, dude, I'm not looking to be running from nobody.
Amen.
I'm from L.A., South Central. We don't run from people. But he's trying to show me how to survive. And then I turn on Baker, whatever his name is, and he's got 7-year food survival kits.
Yeah.
and making tons of money. He got out of prison and came back and became even a better hustler than he was before he went to prison. Okay, he got game. He like, I'm gonna get right back on TV, get my hustle on. And now he's selling you tribulation survival kits.
That's
and
crazy.
Food and generators. He got a generator that you can hide in a hole in your backyard and you will have electricity. You can keep your phone, you can have your cell phone, you can see a text while you're in the tribulation, right? It's like, what are you selling me a generator for, man? But let me tell you, this is what Southern Baptist Convention churches are doing, right? Is not rapture is not allowed to be taught. Why? Because the rapture tells you, keep your life in line with God because you don't know the day he's coming. That's what the rapture does. It's designed to keep us what?
Ready.
On our toes and ready.
Right.
And ready to go.
Right.
Okay, that's what it's designed for. It's not designed to scare people. It's designed to say, you are God's people. Stay ready. Stay on your toes.
Because
you don't know when I'm coming. If you sin, you need to get somewhere and you need to repent so that we be back in order again. So because I've set it up this way, right? So God has set up the system so that we can stay ready. Never start sinning and say, I'm too bad. I'm tired of asking for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Satan pulled that one on me when I was 19. I'm just not a Christian, I realized. No, you already accepted Christ. You even spoke in tongues. You did all of that. You are a Christian. You're not a mature Christian.
Right.
But keep asking for forgiveness and keep trying, right?
Right.
I didn't know that. So I said, I'm going back into the world. That could have killed me. So understand the system. Let's look at this now.
Amen.
Okay. We're going to John chapter 14. We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 14.
Got a few more minutes, man.
That's okay. I can do with a few more minutes. You got it. Okay, you John chapter 14? My John chapter 14. These verses are in red. So this is Jesus talking. Love them. It says, let not your heart be troubled. He's talking to, who's he talking to? Christians. Okay? He's not telling sinners, let not your heart be troubled. Okay? He's saying, let not your heart be troubled. You that believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many.
Many.
A few?
Many.
Many mansions. Okay? Now, For all the theologians that say, well, you know, the Greek word really means a room.
Mm-hmm.
No. The Greek word means to live in a manor. You know the manor, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where the butler opens the door. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying mansions. Okay.
Yeah.
He's saying, and I don't have to go into my dream, but I can tell you a dream that I had. But it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go, he says, Jesus says, I'm about to leave. I go to prepare a place for who?
You.
You who believe in Jesus. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. The word is paralambano. To take you out of the earth as a friend or a companion of me. Okay? I'm coming to get you to take you out of there as a friend or a companion of me. Okay? To take you. Now listen what he says here. Watch this. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, where's Jesus right now?
Heaven.
There you may be also. Where? In heaven. And where, and he says, and where I go, you know, and the way you know. And who, and what is the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Amen.
But listen to what he said. He's coming at a time that you do not know to take you to be where he is, and I've given you a system of staying in relationship with me so that when I come, you are ready. Okay? Is it based on perfection? Who would make it?
Nobody,
right? But since it's not based on perfection and is based on a relationship, right? Because if I do something wrong to my wife, let me tell you something. I know I need to walk in there and apologize, right? So you think I can do something to God and walk around as act as if he don't know? Then you're out of relationship, right? You can't be ready for this trip if you're out of relationship, okay? All right, here we go. I'm going to read two more scriptures and I'm going to leave. Let's read Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13.
Good word.
If you don't know your plan, who wants to be in a part of something and you have no plan, nothing? I want to be part of something that there is a plan and there is a purpose.
Yeah.
You understand? This is, God wants you to know, I have a plan and I have a purpose. Here, watch this. We could go on with this. Okay, chapter, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, I'm sorry. Is it chapter 4? No, it's chapter 3, verse 13. But we're going to start at verse 11. And it says, now may our God and Father himself, even our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you, so that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with who? With all of his saints. When Jesus comes back to the earth, we're coming with him. So how can we be here if we're not coming with him? When Jesus comes back to the earth, you're coming back too. That means he's coming first to take you to be with him. You've got to go on at least a 6-month tour once you get there. You got to go to a crowning service. You got to go to a banquet. There's things you got to do. You understand? The thing is, the earth needs a cleanup, and God knows that, but he's not going to leave his precious bride here while he's cleaning.
Right.
Okay? So therefore, he's taking you out, but he's giving you a system to stay ready. Let's read Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and then we'll be done. Revelation chapter 19.
People online love your message.
Hallelujah. I love them. Ooh, we got all these people, Pastor Ben. I got all those letters today. I have to read them on Wednesday. But thank you guys for all your cards and your letters. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. Now watch this. It says in verse 11, now I saw heaven open. And behold, this is at the end. This is at the end of the tribulation, right? And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who was seated on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written Jesus on that horse, and it says, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, soldiers for Christ, in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So we're following Jesus, and we're on white horses too. Okay? Now, out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike down the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron.
Yeah.
He himself will tread the winepress of fierceness and the wrath of God Almighty. And he has on his robe
and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Yeshua HaMashiach, forever. Praise God. Thank you guys for listening to that, because what the Lord told me, what he wanted people to know is he's coming, and our job is to stay ready, and our job is to understand and always understand that the greatness of his love, the greatness of his love was to set up a simple system to keep you in relationship so that you don't have to struggle to stay a Christian. You don't have to cry over it's too hard. He set up a system so that you can always be ready. So when that 7 years of horrible earth comes, that you're not here because you stayed within the system of a relationship, which means what? If I sin, I have an advocate, right? I have a lawyer. I can always stay pure with God because God set up a loving system to keep me in relationship. So praise God, stay ready. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.